Hey everyone, it's Vicky. You may have noticed some changes we've been trying with Insight lately, and I wanted to fill you in. We are very excited about our new theme music. We're offering more Insight throughout the day on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And this month, to give ourselves the chance to catch our breath a little bit, we're going to bring you a half-hour version of Insight. You can still expect the same thoughtful conversations and topics every Monday through Thursday, but now from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Let us know what you think. All right, here's today's show.
Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicky. They say politics is the art of compromise. Last week, Governor Gavin Newsom told reporters he's ready to make adjustments to his proposal that would have limited the latitude of California counties on how to spend mental health dollars. Originally, the governor backed a proposal by Senator Susan Eggman of Stockton that would change the nearly 20-year-old voter-approved Mental Health Services Act. The money comes from the so-called millionaire tax, which raises about $4 million a year for the counties. The plan would have divided the money the counties get into thirds, a third going to housing assistance, a third to intensive services, and a third for all other programs. But there's been pushback to the one-size-fits-all approach from the counties themselves and from agencies who worry that their work will get shortchanged. One such agency is the California Alliance of Child and Family Services. The alliance's CEO, Chris Stoner-Mertz, and its Director of Public Policy and Strategy, Adrian Shilton, join us now. Welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Chris, let's start with you. What does the California Alliance of Child and Family Services do?
We are a member association that represents over 160 nonprofit child and family serving organizations across California in all 58 states.
Or counties, rather. All 58
I'm sorry,
counties, yes. So, Adrian, it's early. It's early.
It is early.
Adrian, you've been involved with this proposed legislation in its original form. What do you believe the impacts would have been on the alliance?
Thank you. So, you know, the Alliance had initially expressed a strong concern when this proposal was first released because it had eliminated funding protections that would ensure that children and youth had access to essential prevention and early intervention services. And this is about $321 million annually. So we're glad to see that the recent amendments that were released this week would maintain some of these protections for funding for children's programs, but there are still some provisions that have us concerned.
What are those?
We also have a youth homelessness crisis, especially among vulnerable populations such as foster youth and LGBTQ+ youth. And if we don't intervene with young people, we are going to continue to have these young people become tomorrow's homelessness population. And in fact, the data shows that 1 in 4 Californians who struggle with homelessness are actually unaccompanied youth or families with children. So we've also asked for a specific set aside for children and youth in the housing category.
I see. When we began this segment, I actually misspoke. I said that the money from the millionaire tax raises $4 million a year. The correct number is $4 billion with a B, $4 billion a year. Governor Newsom says he's got a sell-by date, meaning that he terms out of office in 3.5 years. He wants to get this done, and he says he wants to stop, and these are his words, tinkering around the edges. So he's now supporting revisions that give counties more latitude on allocating the funding, as well as setting aside money for children's services and keeping the oversight of the funds independent as opposed to being part of the executive branch. Chris, in general, do these changes make you breathe a bit easier?
Absolutely. Particularly the amendments that were provided yesterday that are really directing funds for the use of services for children and youth 0 to 25 and ensuring that certain components, particularly the behavioral health services and supports early intervention component, are in fact directed towards youth. So that has certainly helped us to breathe easier. And, you know, we're very engaged with the administration in discussing these amendments and supporting this going forward.
Adrian, at the granular level, could more be done to the proposal to make it even better for California kids' mental health? And what would that look like?
From our perspective, even more broadly, we should be having a conversation about investing more in programs that provide support to youth and families. Earlier last year, the U.S. Surgeon General called the increase in youth mental health needs the defining public crisis of our time. We acknowledge that some reform of the Mental Health Services Act is needed, and we actually could be doing even more for youth and families to prevent youth homelessness, to prevent the negative outcomes that we see as a result of untreated mental illness.
How optimistic are you that you'll eventually get there?
We've been enjoying a partnership with this administration, and I think high level there's support for many of the proposals that we've put forward. So we are optimistic.
Good. Chris, assuming the governor gets his way and the legislature signs off, this ends up going to a vote of the people in March. Do you think the average California voter understands what's at stake here?
I'm not sure. I think that very broadly, folks are very concerned about our homeless crisis, right? And mm-hmm. and they see it as visible. And so part of what we were concerned about is that children and families who show up homeless very differently than, you know, an individual adult might not be seen. So I think we want to make sure that we're getting the word out that these services are needed at all levels. And as Adrian said, if we don't take care of our children and youth, we're going to end up with more homeless adults. So it's really that balance. And I do think folks understand there's a need for a look at the MHSA, now the BHSA. But we need to make sure that we're really addressing as many needs as possible under this, what is probably the most flexible funding that we have in the state for behavioral health services.
Expanding on,
we're also very happy to see the addition of substance use supports, which we feel particularly for youth, again, that is when substance use often starts for youth. So we're very happy to see that.
Expanding on what you just said, do you think it would be fair to say that the homelessness crisis is a very emotional topic right now, whereas youth mental health is more abstract for those who are not directly impacted?
I think that's a great way of putting it, Mike. And as I said, less visible.
Do you have the resources to educate the voters in the next 7 months?
We'll use every dollar we have. We certainly need to, I think.
Chris Stoner-Mertz is the CEO of the California Alliance of Child and Family Services. Adrian Shilton is the Director of Public Policy and Strategy. Thank you both for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, another major construction project is coming to Sacramento. This one's intended to rehab and uplift the historic Broadway corridor, and it includes cutting the number of lanes for cars in half. You're listening to Insight on your NPR Cap Radio, or NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicki Gonzalez.